Track number 2, Calle Real and Placeta Square. The writer Luis de Mármol Carvajal, 16th century, wrote the following.
Salobreña is an important town due to the nature and art of the place. It lies on the shores of the Mediterranean Sea, sited on a very high cliff. To the south there is a small island, and to the west, a beach much sheltered from the east wind and from where the ships emerge. The town is enclosed by walls. At the highest point, where the north wind blows, there is an important castle. There would be enough space for 600 houses if the town were fully populated, but at present there are no more than 80 residents.
The end of the Muslim occupation of Salobreña came in 1489 when, following the fall of Baza and Almería, the entire coastline of Granada was taken from Mohammed XII, also known as El Zagal, and came under the rule of the Castilian Christian conquerors. During this battle, the military expertise of Francisco Ramírez de Madrid, artillery officer, was without doubt a decisive factor, and as a reward, the Catholic monarchs named him governor of the fortress and town of Salobreña, therefore becoming the first Christian mayor of Salobreña. This, and the crushing of a rebellion of the town's inhabitants in favour of El Zagal's successor, Boabdil, in 1490, marked the beginning of the region's occupation by the Castilians. Generally speaking, the Muslims stayed where they were, living in the hamlets, whereas the town itself was mainly occupied by Castilians. During nearly the entire 16th century, the town was sparsely inhabited. The final expulsion of the Muslim population was the result of the rebellion of the Moriscos from Granada, which took place over Christmas 1568 in the Alpujarra region. At the same time, the Moriscos of Salobreña also rose up in arms, to the extent that in February 1569, the Marquess of Mondéjar had to intervene to put down the rebel alliance. But some areas of life remained unchanged. For instance, the fall of the Muslim kingdom of Granada did nothing to diminish the extent of sugarcane cultivation, and in the 16th century, the industry was still very important to the local area, being by far the most extensively grown crop on the Motril-Salobreña plain. However, during the 17th and 18th centuries, it suffered a serious crisis, and by the middle of the 18th century, the industry had practically disappeared and had been replaced by cotton production. Details are sketchy, though, as little is known about the town's development during this period. What we do know is that the population was centred around the former town hall square and the parish church of Our Lady of the Rosary, both in the old quarter of Salobreña. Upon reaching this small square, choose either Muralla Street on the right, or at the bottom and on the left, the beginning of Real Street, or Calle Real. Taking the latter choice and leaving behind the Brocal district, where the ruins of Nazareth Tower can be found, one comes across a narrow street of whitewashed houses. On the first corner, you'll see the Casa Grande, or Big House, which these days is a property that belongs to the church. Also, halfway along the Real Street, you can find a small square called La Placeta, which is as old as the town itself. Close to Salvador Villascusa Street and on the corner is a small tavern, the Taberna Alaca, formerly the town's bakery. During the Middle Ages, the local people were allowed to bake as much bread as they liked, provided they paid a flour tax in return. Inside the tavern, wooden beams indicate the many centuries of history contained within. Returning to Calle Real now, the house number 10 is another important historical feature. The building, which belongs to the Villascusa family, was formerly the town hospital, local inn, and in 1757, the place where the last local person born into slavery died. Further along the street is the former town hall square, which nowadays houses the local museum, well worth a visit. So this route has taken us through the oldest part of the town, where the narrow streets of whitewashed houses preserve an air of ancient nobility. It's worth noting that if you return on a rainy day, not that we have many of them, mind you, the stunning whitewashed appearance of the old town turns into a bluish hue. That's a result of the rainwater coming into contact with lime. Next point, the local history museum.